Welcome to Weekly Edition. My name is Art Ortega, and this program is produced in the public interest by Citadel Broadcasting Company. Beautiful weekend, beautiful week. It's been a great set of days all kind of strung together that go from the highs and lows of the desert air to these extremely hot days when you want to go inside and cool off a little bit. Well, we have a place that you can walk into and learn something beyond your imagination. And the place we're talking about is 516 Arts. The executive director is a guest of ours who has been here before. Her name is Suzanne Schwarg. And Suzanne, welcome. Nice to have you here.
Hi, thank you.
And tell us about the space, and then we're going to talk about our two guests. We'll introduce them in a sec.
Well, 516 Arts is a nonprofit arts organization that presents mostly exhibitions year-round, but we also do a little bit with performance and poetry events and a lot of educational programs. We focus on mostly contemporary art. We've been around for about a year and a half.
And you have a lot of people in the community who are supporting you, and if people want to know more about that, you do have a website.
Yeah, we do. It's www.516arts.org.
Okay. And we'll talk to you before we go away again, but I wanted to kind of set the stage here to introduce two women who have traveled to Albuquerque to bring an art exhibition, a study, a project, a work of love called Trappings, Stories of Women, Power, and Clothing. And they are Tiffany Ludwig and Renee Pachaki. Is that correct?
Nice job.
That's pretty good.
Yes,
yeah.
Very good.
Thank you. Thank you. I think I got that when I was having kielbasa.
Maybe. Yeah,
sort of
that'll do it.
There you go. Well, welcome both of you. I am so delighted because Suzanne told me about your project a couple of months ago, and I said, we got to talk to them when they come in. Now, Trapping, Stories of Women, Power, and Clothing is a work of art, but let's talk about you as artists. First, we'll start with Renee.
I graduated from Hunter College with an art degree way back in the day, and I have been collaborating with Tiffany Ludwig as part of Two Girls Working since 2001.
Okay, very good. Now, Tiffany, how about you? What is your background in the world of art?
Well, my background is as a multidisciplinary artist. I've done a lot of public interventionist artwork, digital printmaking, traditional printmaking, kind of the full gamut, working in multimedia. And I went to Mason Gross School of the Arts at Rutgers University, and that's where I kind of got my footing in conceptual art and went on from there.
And now you two have come together just by happenstance, I am imagining, because that's usually the way it works. And you are now working together on this ongoing project called Trappings, Stories of Women, Power, and Clothing. It's a book. It's a terrific book. It includes photography, includes a lot of descriptive information about the women that are in the photographs and your study. So let's talk about the project. How did that come about, clothing and women and power?
Well, this project began in 2001. Mm-hmm. November 2001 is when we held our first interview session, and Trappings begins with an interview session.
Mm-hmm.
But Renee and I met in 2000 working on a conference. We just were drawn together because we enjoyed working together, hence our name, Two Girls Working. I mean, we have type A personalities, and we work, believe me, all the time. So we had a similar work ethic. We knew that we had the same kind of political interests, same kind of artistic interests, and figured out a way to meld them to create this project. We spent a full year really in constant conversation. What kind of question do we want to ask? Let's say we know we want to be out in the public. We know we want to create a dialogue-based project that includes lots of women from all across the country, all kinds of demographics, and what's the framework we're going to do to develop this? And the question, what do you wear that makes you feel powerful, is the question we've been asking all around the country. And the interview sessions are the model we created to have these conversations.
Now, which one of you does the interview, or do you kind of share it? How does that work, Renee?
We do share it. Because it's a collaboration, Tiffany and I work together on all parts of the project, from the interview sessions to hanging up the gigantic grid of almost 600 photographs that you'll see when you go to 516 Arts to the show. At the interview sessions, they are, just like Tiffany was describing, really the first stage of the environment, of the interview Let's start that again.
Sure.
The interview sessions are the first stage of the artwork, and they wouldn't exist unless women came. So what we do is we find a host. We use a house party model, like a Tupperware party or a Mary Kay party. But instead of buying plastic or lipstick, women come together and they respond to the question, what do you wear that makes you feel powerful?
Mm-hmm.
The interviews are set up in a way so there's 8 to 10 women at a time. And Tiffany and I are both there, 4 cameras at a time. But the most amazing thing is that we don't interview women one at a time alone out in a different room.
Oh, okay.
The interview sessions happen, so everyone is there together. So you get to respond to what do you wear that makes you feel powerful in front of 9 other women.
Mm.
So it's really an opportunity for all of the women at that session to get to know each other in a new way and maybe learn something about each other that they hadn't known before.
Yet the photographs are of the individual women. So
after
you do the interview and such, do you ask them, go home and change and wear what you want to wear?
No,
Them right there?
Yeah, we shoot them right there. What happens is that, you know, there's a room, there's a section of the room that's set where the women come up individually to be interviewed in front of the cameras. So that's why most of the photographs in the book are women standing alone, because they are there facing the audience in the interview session and conceptually facing you, the audience, the reader in the book.
Okay. So there's a certain performance aspect to this
too.
Yeah, from everybody.
Yeah.
Now when you first came up with the question, what do you wear that makes you feel powerful? Did you try it out on each other?
That is a great question. Actually, we have ourselves on tape, you know, kind of talking about the first interview session and our experiences during it and how, you know, we thought we were going to be interviewing each other, because how could we possibly subject 600 nice ladies to this kind of a question and not give a response ourselves? Luckily, we figured out right at the beginning that if we had do that, we would be giving, let's say, a right answer. We very intentionally, throughout the whole project, we have not tried to prove a thesis. We don't have a right answer.
Mm-hmm.
We're not goading women into certain corners to talk about their shoes or their, cultural history or whatever it is. We want answers and tangents that women want to bring us on.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't want to cloud their responses. And we've heard from other women, oh, yeah, I went to your website to see what you were wearing. What's the right answer to give? So we've always been so thankful not to impose that kind of filter on the project. It's very much for us about creating the platform for other women to have that dialogue.
So they know the question before they come in.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Exactly.
So they're not going to be put under the light and just have to ponder this thing out of nowhere. They've had a chance to think about it.
Not at all, exactly. Okay. Everyone receives an invitation, information about our project, so they know to come wearing their power clothing. They know to expect lights and cameras and to have this conversation.
Mm. Demographics. Now, did you pick any particular age group, or have you interviewed women that start at the age of consent all the way through the elderly side of our lives?
We've actually interviewed plenty of women under the age of consent,
okay,
as well as women way beyond the age of consent. when Tiffany and I began to realize that this was going to be a national project, we committed to going to every region of the country. We also committed to reaching very diverse groups of women, which is why the host system is so important, because we want to identify women who will bring together groups of people that we wouldn't normally get to meet on our own. So through that process, we've interviewed women from ages 4 to 92. We've interviewed women who are corporate executives to stay-at-home moms. We have interviewed women from all cultural backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
All over the country.
Now, is there any common thread, Renee, that has come out of this that you say, yeah, I can pretty much guess that this person who walked in wearing this is going to say something like this? Have you been able to do that, or do
actually,
you even care about that?
Sure. Well, what has happened is that the opposite, in a way, has occurred, which is, some people have come to our interview sessions, and maybe you think because of what they're wearing that they're going to talk about this.
Okay.
So you think they come in a blue suit, they're an attorney, they're going to talk about, you know, how much they love, you know, making their six-figure salary.
Fast cars.
Exactly, and fast cars. And what happens is that woman tells you a story that completely deconstructs the suit in a way that you couldn't begin to imagine.
Hmm.
And you realize that when she is wearing that suit, she is compromising some things in her life to provide the best that she can for her family.
Hmm.
A story that maybe you'd never guess.
Sure.
So what trappings does, I think, is use clothing as a vehicle to get to a much deeper and longer story rather than the soundbite that maybe you can prejudge people with when you first see them.
Now, Tiffany, which one of you is a better interviewer?
Oh, what a funny question.
Hold on.
Oh, man.
You know, Renee answered the question before about how we collaborate, and we sit there at the same keyboard. I mean, It's really...
Look, we have to change hands.
It's really a group effort.
Okay.
Yeah.
So nobody says, I want to take this one. I'm going to talk.
No, we're together. We're both behind the cameras. Okay. We're both taking the notes. We're both transcribing. We're both editing. We're both doing all of the pieces. We're just dividing it up.
No.
But I'm sorry, also at the interview sessions, it's not just Tiffany and I asking the questions, mm-hmm. it's other women in the room as well.
Asking
so,
each other.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
So it gives them a chance to maybe ask someone a question that they never thought about asking before, or now that they know their best friend's on the hot seat, mm-hmm. I'm going to get you to tell me about this story.
What do men say about your show when they come into a space like they will at 516 or 516, 516, either one, arts? What kind of reaction do you get?
We've got a lot of reactions, to tell you the truth. I mean, it's, you know, how often do you get to hear 600 women's stories that you would never be privy to?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a treat for a lot of men and women to get to hear this, like, cross-section of how people are thinking and feeling, specifically about power, right? Because mm-hmm. the conversation's really about power, not clothing. Clothing's just the vehicle to get to that conversation. So it's so applicable, you know, beyond gender. It's really something that men can think about just the same way that women can, which is, how do I use power? How am I presenting it? What is my identity, conveying with respect to that? So I think men can get a lot out of the exhibition.
Yeah. Things that women talk about that come out of the question are universal.
Mm-hmm.
Community, money, family, sex, all of those things. So there's nothing in the show that I don't think men can't relate to.
If people are listening to this, and these stations cover a lot of territory, and they can't get into Albuquerque, is there a website or something that they can look at to see your work and check out the book and such?
From the very beginning, Tiffany and I decided that our website was going to be a place for the public archive. So if you go to twogirlsworking.com and go to the interview section,
okay.
you can listen to the interview of all 600 women who've participated
Whoa.
In the project.
Oh, that's great.
And then if you're interested in the book, we have a more focused website just on the book, which is www.trappings-stories.com.
Okay. Two Girls Working, T-W-O, mm-hmm. not the numeral two.
Right.
All right. And the other one was again?
Trappings-stories.com.
Okay. Now, you're going to be showing here at 516 or 516 Arts through August. Is that right?
Exactly. Okay. So we have an exhibition in the gallery and then also in the public. We've created, just for Albuquerque, very site-specific artworks that go in the D-Ride buses
oh, cool.
in the downtown loop. And there are three artworks on those buses, which are made of print works and audio works that you can access using your cell phone while riding the buses. And there are also banners along buildings and light posts up and down Central Ave.
Ooh, that's marvelous.
That
is great. Well, I wish you both well. This is very interesting, and I was really taken when Suzanne mentioned this to me, and I thought if I could get a chance to meet both of you, I would be a happier guy, and I certainly am, and all.
Well,
I do feel quite powerful. Yes.
So, you know, you're a man. You're going to see uh-huh. the exhibition. You saw the book. You know, who stood out for you?
I'm curious. The one that stood out was the police officer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Only because she exuded the uniform. I mean,
yeah.
she her face, her stance, her everything.
Did you turn the page on her interview?
No,
turn
I did not.
Page.
I did not. I didn't.
You're going to like this.
Oh, I am?
This was our follow-up interview. Tiffany and I had a chance when we were writing the book to come back to New Mexico and do follow-up interviews. We did those with about half
here?
The women. She's from Santa Fe.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yes, exactly.
I'll have to look at that.
And when you turn the page, you may not recognize her.
Okay.
And she talks about how the uniform is how she earns money and how she supports her family, but not her power source.
Okay.
So the other photo right. will reveal that.
All right. Well, see,
there's
a reason. There's a reason to get the book
yeah.
and get to 516 Arts. And Suzanne, can we get you back on the mic there? Anything else you need to say about the exhibition and what people should know, how much it costs?
Well, it's free. We're open Tuesday through Saturdays,
right.
12 to 5. We have a few events during the show. On July 12th, we have the Firestorm Women's Poetry Slam and
mm-hmm.
open mic. And then we also, in July and August, have two workshops in documentary filmmaking and oral histories called Document This with Basement Films. So people can find out more by calling 242-1445 or visiting our website, 516arts.org.
Very good. And we switch the mic back over to Tiffany. Tiffany Ludwig, thank you so much for being a part of this. Best of luck. I'm very impressed.
Well, thank you very much. This has been a pleasure.
Renee Pacecki, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And we will be there to take a look probably more than once because 600 photographs and all that information is a lot to go through in one sitting. And the book is available through your website?
Yes.
Okay. This is Weekly Edition. My name is Art Ortega. We appreciate your listening.